Morning. Today's daf in Bava Basra is Samaches. We start today with the Mishnah on Samin Zayin and Beis. There are two Mishnahs. We're starting from the top Mishnah on the Amud. Amocher Beis Abar, we're talking about the sale of an olive press. So the olive press is obviously an apparatus. It's a mechanism that presses olives and converts it into oil. The Beis Abar is obviously not just the olive press itself, but really the house, the structure that facilitates that actually that literally houses the olive press. So it makes sense in the context of our parak. Our parak is talking about selling real estate. So when we say Beis Abar, we're really talking about the house that houses the olive press and the olive press that's contained there in the house. The Rashbam over here has been very consistent through this parak, and basically the distinctions that we're going to be making are those parts of the olive press that are connected to the ground versus those olive presses that are movable, that are metaltalin. And obviously I don't have a good working understanding of the olive press. I don't think I've seen one in my lifetime firsthand outside of pictures, and it goes without saying that I haven't worked one. So my understanding is limited, but the basic idea, I do get the basic idea, and the Rashbam says it. So that part's clear, is that if it's connected to the ground, if it's kavua bakarka, so then it's part of the sale. And if it's not connected to the ground, so it's not part of the sale. That's the basic idea behind the Mishnah. And so that allows us to begin the Mishnah. Mishnah writes, Amocher Beis Abad. So when you're selling the olive press, Macher es ayam ves amamal. So the yam and the mamal are different structures of the olive press. Again, they are in the ground. The Gemara is going to give Aramaic descriptions of what they are, which again, that's great if you know your Aramaic well. If Aramaic is your first language, so the translation of the Mishnah to Aramaic to us doesn't do much for us. Back in Europe, they had the Tenoreno that they took the Pesukim and they translated into Yiddish. So that's great if you understand Yiddish. So here the Rashbam writes Machar Sayam Bigmar Mefarsh Ahinu Bad Atzmo. So that's the actual press itself. Meaning, I imagine what the Rashbam is trying to describe over here, at least what I'm understanding, is the actual basin that holds the structure, the physical structure that holds the olives. And like I promoted, the Rashbam says that they're all kavua, they're all fixed into the ground. Sham ve'ena mechurim, and those things which are not sold, bechlal beis abad metaltalehen. Those are the things that are movable that you could just remove them. Kedamer nami gabe beis by shemacher machteshes kavua velo hamitalteles. Like we said previously, in other words, those things which are fixed to the ground, those are going to be part of the sale, and those things which are movable are not part of the sale. So the first two things that we described in the Mishnah is the yam and the mamal. So again, what they are actually, so I don't have a good picture in my mind, but basically those are the structures in the ground that are holding the olives.
The vat.
The Esa Basulos. Now the Basulos over here are literally the Basulos of the virgins, but over here we're talking about part of the apparatus of the Beis Abad. So this part I do understand, meaning I get the basic idea. In other words, basically what you're trying to create pressure on the olives in order to squeeze and press the olives. That part's easy. So basically the structure from an engineering standpoint is very simple. You have two vertical beams, you have a cross beam going through, you have a screw connected to the cross beam, and then you turn the screw, and that's going to push down on the olives. So we're talking now about the two vertical beams. They're called the basulos. Okay, that's the Rashbam over here when describing the basulos. Not here. Sorry. Right. It's. Yeah, later we'll talk a little bit more about the expression that's used in terms of basulos. But anyway, okay. Avalomacher es ha'avirim ves ha'galgal. But the things that are not part of the sale of the avirim, the crossbar and the galgal and the screw. So it's funny. In other words, these are obviously part and parcel of the olive press. They're needed for the olive press. But again, according to the Rashbam, since they're removable, so therefore they're not considered part of the sale. The es ha'koreb, and also the beam itself. Meaning the beam itself, in other words, the screw doesn't just simply go down into the olives. That wouldn't help much. The screw on the bottom of the screw is a beam, and that beam is the beam that's exerting force onto the olives below. Actually, there are slats of wood placed on the olives below. The beam is pressing down the slats of wood, which again is applying the pressure to the olives. So that's also not included in the sale. And again, we're going to say the same thing. It's removable, and therefore it's not part of the sale. Now again, in the contract of the sale of the Beis Abad, was written the terms it and everything and all the contents therein, Hare Kula Mechorin, so they're all going to be part of the sale of the Beis Abad. All these things that we just listed are not part of the sale because they're movable, but once you clause in the contract, you place the clause in the contract of Huve Chomash Besochos, and then they're included. Rabbi Eleazar Mer, Mocher Beis Abad, Macher Sakar. Rabbi Lazar says that when you sell the Beis Abad, the Kara is included in the sale of the Beis Abad. It is such a critical component of the Beis Abad that it is, even though it's a movable item, but it is part and parcel of the sale, even if it's not, even if you don't write the clause of Hu v'chomash besocha. Okay, the Gemara over here, like I promoted.
You should have mentioned the screw too.
Right.
Yeah, they're right, correct. And maybe, I'm guessing, and maybe the screw is included in that as well, but that's just a guess. Like I promoted, the Gemara now is going to be giving us an Aramaic translation of all these words in the Mishnayos. So it's good if you speak Aramaic. So Yam is Talfasa, okay? And the Mamal Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Marmal, by the way, that's nice. The Mamal is being translated by an Amora by the name of Rabbi Abba Bar Marmal. Now, again, this is speculation. This is only speculation that part of the reason why he got that name is that maybe he was known for this, you know, for this translation. But okay, however it worked out. So, Mefarchasa is that which actually crushes up the olives. Meaning, before the olives were put into the vat, so what happened to the olives first is that they were cut into pieces. First cut into pieces, then put into the vat. So that's the mama that's being described in our Mishnah. Besulos, I'm Rav Yochanan, Klun Sosha Erez. So the Besulos and the Mishnah, I already described it, but here the Gemara is describing it again. So those are the two vertical beams, Shemami to Mamet, Korah, and that's what we're going to use in order to stabilize the Korah. Meaning, again, there's a crossbeam that goes across, there's a screw connected to the crossbeam, and then that applies the pressure downward. Avirim kifshe gagal. So the avirim is a reference to the kifshe gagal. That is Thank you. Okay. You're right. Avirim is the kafshe. That's the beams of wood on the bottom that lays right on top of the olives. Thank you. Galgal is chumrasa, and the galgal is a chumrasa. Again, the Mishnah's word for screw, the Aramaic word for the screw, and kara is kara, and the beam is a beam. In other words, they just like you say it in Mishnaic Hebrew, you say it in Aramaic as well. It works out the same. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa mocher beis abad mocher es nesarim. So the brisa here describes that included in the sale of the beis abad are the planks of wood vesa yikavim vesa mefarchos. So these are the areas where the olives will get chopped up vesa rechaim atachtona, and the lower portion of the mill avalo alayona, but not the upper portion of the mill vizman shamalo huva chomash besochal. And again, if you insert the clause in the contract, it and all of its content, so then it's all going to be part of the sale. Bein kach u'bein kach, in either event, lo macher lo asa avirim v'lo asa sakin v'lo asa matzufin. What is not included in the sale is the the boards, the bags, and the matzufim. Right, more bags. Right. More bags. Those are all not part and parcel of the actual physical apparatus itself, and therefore it's not included in the sale. And Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Mocher Beis Abad Macher Sakara Shelo Nikra Beis Abad El Al Shem Kara. Now the Brice over here concludes the same way the Mishnah did, which is that Rabbi Eliezer feels that the beam, which is such an integral part of the Beis Abad, or the Alf Press, so that's included in the sale, even if you don't stipulate Hu V'Chomash Besocha. Okay, we start with the next Mishnah, Mocher Samerchatz. We're now talking about the bathhouse. Now, the Mishnah uses the word Merchatz, and if you look at the Bach over here, the Bach is a base of Merchatz. Again, we're talking about the actual facility itself, the sale of the facility. So, Machers and Asarim Ves HaSafalim, Ves HaBanayos. So, in the sale of the bathhouse, let me emphasize that first line of the Mishnah again. I don't think I emphasized it. Lo machar es anasarim vesa sefalim vesa balanios. So in not including the sale is going to be the beams, the bowls, and the balanios. Okay, so the Rashbam over here describes is an Asarim in the bathhouse is Shenosin al Gabi Karka. The Rashbam, I'm reading the Rashbam, second Rashbam in the Mishnah. So what you're doing is you're putting the beams on the floor of the bathhouse. Why are you doing that? The Rashbam gives a couple of explanations. One, says the Rashbam, Omdim aleim arochsim shelo yiraglim, shelo yichavu raglim michom hakarka. So one explanation of the Rashbam is that we don't want people's feet to burn on the bottom of the bathhouse, so therefore, as a way of protecting people's feet, so they put down beams on top of the floor of the bathhouse. The heat generated for the bathhouse is from boiling water that's coming off the floor of the bathhouse. So again, so you don't want people to step on it, so therefore you put beams down. Inami, Rashbam offers another explanation. Shelo yitan for raglehem. Just in other words, sanitary reasons. We don't want people's feet to get dirty. So therefore you put beams on top of it. And again, the Rashbam, he is so super consistent about this. The reason why it's not including the sail is because they're movable. You could just simply pick the beams up and take them out. So therefore, in the sale of a bathhouse, so these beams are not included. Now, back to the Mishnah. But if you say the Beis HaMerchatz and you include in the contract it and everything included in it, they're all going to be part of the sale, even the beams themselves. Benkach or benkach, and either event lamacher esa meguro shalmayim below a sartzar shal eitzim. However, here's what's not included in the sale. If, let's say, there's a water source right outside the bathhouse, where what we can do is we can take water and divert it from the water source and bring it to the bathhouse. That's not included in the sale. And if we have, let's say, a woodshed next to the bathhouse, now that woodshed next to the bathhouse is supplying the wood for the bathhouse. That's also not included in the sale as well. Why are these items not included in the sale? So the Rashbam goes on to explain. The Rashbam divra maskev lo at sarshal etzim on the woodshed shayu lachamim by mamerchat v'hainu taima de ein elu tashmishin ham yuchadim lamerchats. So the Rashbam goes on to explain the reason why these are not part of the sale is because these, meaning the water source and the woodshed, are not exclusive to the bathhouse. So in other words, obviously they serve the bathhouse, but they don't exclusively serve the bathhouse. The water source, you could use the water for other items as well. The woodshed, you could use the wood for other items as well. Just like we said a couple days ago, that when you sell a chatzar, the wheat and the barley is not part of the sale. Even if you say kol mashe besocho, the wheat and the barley are not part of the sale. The reason why is because wheat and barley do not facilitate the chatzar. They're there, but they don't facilitate the chatzar. Here too, the water source and the woodshed are there, and I certainly will use it towards the bathhouse, but they're not exclusive to the bathhouse. For example, says the Rashbam, if I want to cook in my house, or if I want to heat in my house, I'm going to go to the woodshed, I'm going to get wood from the woodshed for my house. So their exclusive usage is not towards the bathhouse. Therefore, the sale of the bathhouse does not include these facilities. Again, if it's stated in the contract, fine. But stama, it's not including the facility. Tanu Rabbanan, we start with a brice, so we're on the very bottom of Samech Zayin Amid Beis, right after the Mishnah. Hamochers, Amerchers, Macher, Es, Beis HaNasarim, Ves, Beis HaYikmin, Ves, Beis HaSafalim, Ves, Beis HaVilaos. So when you sell the bathhouse, included in that is the Beis HaNasarim. Now the Beis HaNasarim over here, focus on the word bias, meaning we're not talking about the beams, we're talking about the closets. In other words, the beams themselves, we already established in the Mishnah, is not part of the sale. But we're talking about the physical structure of the bathhouse. So all the closets that are used to store the beams, the towels, the bowls, so all these closets are obviously part of the facility of the bathhouse and therefore going to be included in the sale. Avalo es hanisarim atzman, but not the beams themselves. Velo yikmom atzman. And they had some sort of thing that they wore on their head, right? So that the turban in the bathhouse. Velo safalim atzman, but not the bowls themselves. Velo vilos atzman, and not the towels themselves. Meaning, so only the closets, but not the actual contents of the closets. They're not. Uvitz man sharm alohi v'chomashe besocha. And the Braisa here repeats exactly what we learned back in the Mishnah. If in the contract of the sale of the bathhouse you say it and every and all of its contents, harei kulam mechurin, so then not only the closets are going to be sold, but the contents of the closets. closets are going to come in as well. V'enkach, in either event, lo machar lo es abrechos, amispikos lo mayim, and not including the sale is going to be if there's a water source outside, bein b'yamos hachama, bein b'yamos hachshamim, and it doesn't matter whether it's during the winter months when it's raining or during the summer months when it's not raining, meaning it's just simply not, again, I'm explaining it like the Rashbam, it's not exclusively used for the bathhouse, therefore it's not including the sale. Full of base kinosaitzim, and not a woodshed. The woodshed also is not included, and again, because the woodshed is not exclusively used for the bathhouse, and therefore it's not including the sale, even if you stipulate he v'chomash b'socha. V'im amar lo beis amerchos v'chol tashmishav ani mochalach. Now, if let's say in the contract you say the beis amerchatz and all of its tashmishin and anything that serves the beis amerchatz. Now, this is different than the previous clause. In the previous clause, we said he v'chomash b'socha. The bathhouse and all the contents of the bathhouse. So then you get the closets and everything that's in the closets, the towels, the turbans, the bowls, etc., etc. But when you say chomashe if you say heva chomash besocha, you're right. If you don't state that clause, then you don't get the towels. But if you say heva chomash besocha, then you do get the towels. This language of chol tashmishav is even more expansive. It allows you now to get the surrounding water source and the surrounding woodshed, because it does serve, even though it doesn't exclusively serve, but it does serve the bathhouse. And imochalach kula machurin. So they're all going to be part of the sale. Okay, and now the Gemara, after quoting the Braisa, follows it up with a story. So in the story, there was a sale of a vat. An olive press. And in the contract of the sale of the olive press, so it said, Hu v'chol tashmishav. Now, understand that we're talking about a bathhouse. Now, the olive press was one Mishnah back. But you'll see, though, the reason why the Gemara has this story here right now is because in this contract, you use the word, the term, the clause, chol tashmishav. And that term we were only introduced to in this sugya. So that's why the Gemara brings the story in over here, even though the Beis Abad sugya was just but one Mishnah ago. Anyway, so that was written in the contract, Hu v'chol tashmishav. So, havyahanu chanus avrai davushatche beishum shemei. Now, connected to the Beis Abad, to the house of the olive press, so there was a store. In other words, and it was adjacent right to the olive press. So was that store considered part of the sale, yes or no? Now, it did serve the olive press, because after the conclusion of the pressing of the olives, what did they do? They took the oil, they brought it to the store, and they sold it from the store. So the store did facilitate the olive press. It was used towards the olive press. So you can make an argument that therefore the store itself should be included in the sale. Again, it's we're talking about a big ticket, a big ticket item. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of whether the store adjacent to the olive press is or is not included in the sale, and the language of the contract said, Hu v'chol tashmishav. So is the store considered part of the sale, yes or no? Also, the comment of Rav Yosef, so they take the issue in front of Rav Yosef, and he adjudicates. Amr le tanina. Rav Yosef's response is, it's a Mishnah, or in our case now, it's a Braisa. Amar beis amechus v'chol tashmishav ani mochalach harikulam mechurin. What did we just learn together regarding the sale of a bathhouse? When you use in the contract the clause to call tashmishav, so included in that is the adjacent water source and the adjacent woodshed. Anything used that facilitates the bathhouse is going to be included in the sale. So now, Rav Yosef says, now that we know the Braisa, so I think over here the question is going to be resolved as well. As long as the adjacent store is used in conjunction with the bathhouse, with the olive press, it therefore should be part of the sale. So Abaye points out that if that's all the information we had, I'd agree with you. But there is another Braisa, and Abaye quotes the other Braisa, and the other Braisa says, "In kulan mechurin." Even when you say hivachot tashmishah, so not every adjacent water source and woodshed are going to be included in the sale. Basically, if you want to put the question out there, we have basically a steer between two Braisas. One Braisa says that when you say hivachot tashmishah, you get the adjacent woodshed and the adjacent water source. Another Braisa says you do not get it. So, truth of the matter is, all we really need to do right now is just to resolve the discrepancy between the two braisas, and the Gemara does that right now. I amalei beis abar v'chol tashmishav v'alein mitzarana kani v'ilo lo kani. So Rav Ashi says, so here's how I think you're going to have to resolve the discrepancy between the two brises. If you say the word beis abad and you say the words v'chol tashmishav, and an important and you outline the border, in other words, in the contract, you actually stipulate the borders, so then you get everything. Then you get the olive press, meaning the entire olive press house, and you get the adjacent store, since the adjacent store is included in the boundaries of the that were outlined in the contract. Now, in terms of boundaries, we learned a while back, not so long ago, I should say, we learned some time back, that boundaries don't necessarily include everything within the boundaries. The Gemara expression that we saw earlier is that sometimes boundaries are listed over there just to give us a guideline. There are indicators of the area that's being sold, but that's not necessarily going to be the defining line of what is and what isn't sold. So the Rashbam over here is sensitive to that, and the Rashbam writes, I'm reading the Rashbam in Kula Mechurin, Shari Im Yichodin LeBeis Abad. Hachi Kasa BePerushe Rabbeinu Chanan V'Chein Iker. I'm Rav Ashi, so the Rashbam basically clues us into the fact that the Gemara's answer that we just read, the Gemara that I just read, not everyone agrees to the Girsa of the Gemara, but the Rashbam says, but this is Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat, and I think it's the main pshat. And it's consistent with the Gemara that I just read. I'm reading the Rashbam. I'm Rav Ashi, Chazini, Amalei, Beis Abad, V'chol Tashmeshah, V'alin Mitzarnai, V'hani B'chlal, Hanu Mitzarnai. So if in the contract of the sale of the Beis Abad, you say, Beis Abad, you say kol tashmishav, and you say, and these are the borders, so then you acquire everything, even the adjacent storehouse. Kana lahu v'ilo lo kana v'sugya d'shmaita d'amar hachi salka v'kaimelan kerev ashi duhu basra v'shami, I'm sorry, duhu basra. So first of all, the Rashbam points out, and that's the halacha, meaning Rav Ashi issued a ruling. We know that he is, in terms of the Mesorah, he is the Basra, he's the of the latest of the Amoraim. And when he issues a ruling, so remember that he has with him all the previous information. So when he issues a ruling, he understands and he knows all the previous information. And when he rules, so that is the established ruling. Ushamina mina bezman shamalei beis amechatz v'chama shabesocha ani mocha af apisha meitzol ha-mitzorim ha-chitzonim lo kana brecho shamayim v'lo beis kinos eitzim. Now, in the general sale of a Beis Amerchatz, if you say everything included, Masha Besocha, now here, you did not use the words Kol Tashmisheha. You simply said Kol Masha Besocha. So remember, that was in previous sugya. You get the closets, you get the contents of the closets, but you don't get anything outside of the Beis Amerchatz. Even if you list the borders, so the Rashbam says, okay, but that's not going to do anything. And even if the pools of water, the reservoir of water, and the woodshed are included in the borders, the Rashbam says it's still not going to do anything. And the Rashbam explains the reason why. The Rashbam says, because remember, Mitzarim here chivlo. The expression the Gemara used earlier is sometimes the borders are just there to give us a guideline of what's included in the sale, but that doesn't necessarily represent the entirety of the sale, or the entirety of the borders don't represent what's everything's included in the sale. Meaning they're just there to tell you, hey, this is where it can be found. However, Ava, im amarle merchatz v'chol tashmishav. However, contrast that where you say the base of merchatz, and then you write in the contract kol tashmishav, not kol moshe besocha, but kol tashmishav. Anything that services the bathhouse, eu meitzol ha-mitzarev, and then you also outline the borders, v'hinem betocha meitzar, and the water source, and the woodshed are included in the borders. So then the Rashbam says, and now everything's included. Harein mechurin hol v'chazu portal tashmish beis abad. Now, everything's going to be included, and you know that the water source is servicing the bathhouse, and you know the woodshed is servicing the bathhouse, even though it's a little bit. But again, now you've checked all your boxes, right? Did you sell the bathhouse? Yes. Did you say kol tashmishav? Check. Did you also outline it in the borders? Check. So once you have all those boxes checked, so then including that is going to be the outside water source and the outside woodshed as well. Now, yes, it's true that borders don't necessarily mean everything within the borders. However, here we're going to say that. Because again, as long as it's servicing the Beis Abad, and it's in the border, vada marchulo, delakach techem es hametzer chutzalo. That's the reason why you said kol tashmishav, and you also include the borders as well. Fine. Period. Now the Rashbam goes on to give another pshat in the Gemara. The Rashbam, after giving that other pshat, says that the first pshat I offered, I think, is the ikar. It's the main pshat. It's the one that we just went through in the Gemara. For more on this topic, see the second pshat in the Rashbam. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Okay, Mishnah. Hamocher Sa'ir. We're now in the next Mishnah, and we're on Samaches Amad Aleph, and we're talking about the sale of a city. Obviously, we're talking about a private city. So the city is owned by an individual, and he's looking to sell his entire city. So what's included in the sale? So again, I remind all of us, the Rashbam that we learned earlier. The Rashbam back on Samach Hamad Bey says that the bigger the item, the property is for sale, the more that's generically going to be included in the sale. The Rashbam's language, I quoted yesterday, I'm going to quote it again today. It's really a mantra for all these Mishnahs. It's a basic theme. Klala Demilso, this is the Rashbam Samech Hamid base. The general rule is, Kol Mecher Hagadol Mechavero, Riba Limkor Yoser Hagadol Lefi Gadlova Kat Lefi Kat No. So because it's a larger sale, so therefore it is going to, by default, include more items in the sale. Good. The Mishnah starts off. So if you sell a city, including the sale, are going to be houses, are going to be pits, are going to be cisterns, are going to be caves, the bathhouses, the dove coats, the ala press, the fields that require irrigation. All these are going to be part and parcel of the sale, considering that you're selling the entire city. But not movable items. The movable items are not included in the sale, so anything you can pick up is not going to be considered part of the sale. Now, if included in the sale of the city is the clause, the city and all the contents of the city, even if they're animals, even if they're slaves, they're all going to be considered part of the sale. Rashbag Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says of the opinion, Amokher Seir, Macher Sasanter, that when you sell the city, so the Santer is going to be included in the sale of the city. I'm sure you'd like to know what a Santer is. I'm sure that's what's that should be the question. So I'd like to think it's the city center, meaning like we say in English, right? That's, the words do certainly sound the same. And I have a good hunch. It's my best guess that city center actually comes etymologically from this word, in terms of what the Mishnah means and the definition of the Mishnah, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to debate exactly what that word means. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Now, avadim are like metaltal, and that's what it seems like from our Mishnah. Let me explain this point of the Gemara much better before we go any further in the Gemara. I'm not going to explain the Rashbam. I'm just going to read the Rashbam. The Rashbam on the Gemara writes as follows, meaning, we are now going to try to put an Eved in its right category. Obviously, we're talking about Eved Kanani. We're not talking about an Eved Ivri. An Eved Kanani, does it belong under the category of Karka? Does it belong under the category of Metaltlin? And the Gemara is going to be deliberating this point. The Rashbam goes on to explain, we know the answer to that question. Yeah. Right. We've said it time and again throughout Shas. Right? You've been following in the Daf long enough, so you know. As the Gemara repeats time and again, an Eved Kanani is Karka, has the same halachic properties as Karka. So we really know the answer. So it's not, it should not be a discussion, the Rashbam explains. Mimasisa daktina bereisha lamachas ha-metaltalin. Look, the Mishnah, look at the structure of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when you sell a city and you don't write the words Komash B'Socho, so movables are not included in the sale. And then the Mishnah V'Kam Rabbi Seifa contrasts that with the next line of the Mishnah, Avaliyam Amarlo Komash B'Socho, that when you include the clause of everything in the city, Az Ha'avad D'Mechurin, so then these slaves are considered part of the sale. So again, a simple reading of the Mishnah leads you to what conclusion? That an Eved is considered metaltalin, and only when you add the words kol mashav esochal, then and only then are the Eved included in the sale. Mechlal demikar lo havim mizdavne agav masa. The Eved Kanani is not default including the sale. Mishum demetaltalin inu, and because, again, the simplest reading of the Mishnah is that an Eved Kanani has the status of metaltalin. Now, bitmiel. V'anami b'aylam b'perek mishameis. Ikim metaltalin, ikim akarti dami. And the Rashbam notes that this is a debate whether or not an Eved is considered metaltalin, considered makarke. Klamar. Hami b'aylam. Klamar, yeah. Klamar, hami ba'ile im lefi lashem b'nei adam kar metatale ar mekarke. And the Rashbam explains beautifully over here. Look, says the Rashbam. We are not discussing an Eved Kanani from an actual standpoint. Because from an actual standpoint, an Eved Kanani is karka. What we're discussing is that when we talk, because really what contracts do is contracts are just simply a reflection of how we converse. When we talk and I say to you, I'm selling the city. Did you understand me to mean that, including that is the Eved Kanani of the city? Meaning in the parlance of people, in the language of people, is an Eved Kanani considered property or is it considered movables? As far as Halach is concerned, we know what an Eved Kanani is. The Rashbam goes on to explain. The Rashbam says we know that an Eved Kanani is property in terms of the methodology. How do you buy an Eved Kanani? The answer is kesef shar v'chazaka. That's the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Mishum de'itkish l'karkos echziv v'snachal tamosam aval l'gabe l'ashem b'nei adam. So from a Torah standpoint, we know what it is. That's not our question. Our question is that when we talk, and when that talk is reflected in a contract, what was intended by the seller and by the buyer? L'gabe manda me'metalte le l'panaya mi'bay. We're looking for the language and what did people intend when they said the language. When I say to you, you know, I'm going to sell you my property, all my property, was my Eved Kanani included in that sale? That's what we're trying to investigate. That's the only thing that needs to be resolved. Well, if should hasam, now the Gemara discussed it elsewhere, the Gemara didn't resolve it. Meaning, the Gemara left us in a suspended state of doubt in terms of whether or not, as far as parlance is concerned, as far as language is concerned, do people, when they say land, automatically include in that language Avadim. And the Rashbam says, that's what our Gemara is bothered by. In other words, you want to know what people mean? Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to be very clear. There is a transaction in our Mishnah. A city is for sale. And the Mishnah says pretty clearly that when you don't use the words Harisha Besocha, so therefore slaves are not included. Why are slaves not included? Because as far as people and conversation are concerned, and the general definition of language, as far as people talking, an Eved is not considered Karka. And only when you say Harisha Besocha, then and only then is the Eved considered part of the sale. That's the discussion of our Gemara, as explains the Rashbam. Now, with all that stated, now let's go back to the Gemara. Let's feel the Gemara's question. Why aren't the Evadim sold default with together with the land? It's because when we talk, even though halachically min haTorah an Eved Kanani is karka, but when we talk, we don't view him that way. So the Gemara says, okay, let's assume you're right. I have a very simple question to you, and that is: look at the language of the Mishnah, and the Gemara notes it. My afilu, you see what the Mishnah said? Even slaves are included. Wait, one second. If slaves are metaltalin, so here's what the Mishnah, right? Here's what the Mishnah should have said. The Mishnah should have just simply said, and if you said kol mashab esocha, so that includes slaves because slaves are metaltalin. But the Mishnah doesn't say it. The Mishnah says even slaves, as if to say slaves are like they're totally separate category. So the Gemara says elamai sach lemeimar shani beimetatel demetatel onayed. So you know what's clear? What's clear is that an Eved Kanani, even in metaltelin, is really a category onto its own. And the reason why is very simple, because there are metaltelin, they're metaltelin. This desk is metaltelin. It's a movable item. But you know what it's not going to do? It's not going to pick up and move on its own. However, an Eved Kanani, even if we put in the category of metaltelin, but it's different. You know why it's different? It's very simple. It's different because it walks on its own. So I can easily make a distinction in terms of a sale between items that don't move and items that do move. So the Gemara says, but once we're here, so then we can go back and even entertain and argue that an Eved Kanani is really karka. It's really karka. And you know why it's not, the Eved Kanani is not included in the sale of a city? Because it moves. So categorically, even if we view it as karka, but it's still its own separate category. And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Even if we say that an Evikanani is Karka, again, not Minotaur. We know what it means, Minotaur. But in terms of language, even if we put it under the category of Karka, but Shani Beim Karka Denailan Karka Delonayit, still, I would say that an Evikanani is still its own category because it can walk up and move on its own. So therefore, in the sale of a city, the Evikanani is not included in the sale, not because it's not Karka, it is Karka. It's just Karka in its own unique and separate category because it can walk on its own, something that Karka itself cannot do. Up to the last part of the Mishnah, and the remainder of today's daf is going to be a discussion, a debate, in terms of what is the word santer of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that it's included in the sale. Now, obviously, the Tana disagrees. Obviously. And the only thing we have to do, which is not going to be a small issue, is define what the word santer is. My santer. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara gives two explanations. Here in Bavel, we explain santer as a bar machvenisa. It's a guy who basically is the clerk of the city. The city clerk. He's part of the sale. Now, it's a little bit abnormal. It's a little bit abnormal to sell a person. So what we're going to have to say is that he is either right. He's either an employer of the city. In other words, and that is right. In other words, he is a city employer. Or we can even go even a little step, one step further, and that is he's an Evikanani. But his designated job is going to be that he's a city clerk, and he's the one that files all the properties. In any event, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says he's part of the sale. Right, he comes along. He's a gabbai of the city. Okay, so that's one explanation.
Senator.
Right, the senator. Oh, but no, right. But in other words, he's picking up on the language. Okay, Shimon ben Aftumah Amar Bage, and Shimon ben Aftumah says no, it's a bage. Now, what is a bage? Bage is a surrounding field, meaning it's not a field in the city proper. It's a field right outside the city. When Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the center is being sold, what he means by that is even the outside fields outside the city limits are going to be considered part of the sale. Now, Manda Amar Bar Machvanasa Koshekein Bage. Now, the Gemara says, look, let's contrast these two viewpoints. If the way you're going to define santer is a description of the clerk, if the clerk is included in the sale, for sure the surrounding fields are going to be included in the sale. Meaning it's a bigger chiddush to say that a person is actually part of the sale than just simply an extended field, an outer field. So if the way you translate is clerk, for sure the bag is part of the sale. However, in the opposite, it doesn't work out. Meaning, if the field is what is Rav Shem Gamliel is including, he's not including the clerk. Okay, so we have basically right now two explanations of what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that even the santer is being sold together with the city. One is that it's the city clerk, and the other one is that it's the surrounding field. Tanan. Gemara says, let's go back to our Mishnah. Beis Abadim and Beis Ashlachim. So, what do we know? What do we learn in our Mishnah? Then, in the sale of a city, so the olive presses and the Beis Ashlachim are included in the sale. So, everyone, my Shlachim Bagi. Now, I already said that the Shlachim in the Mishnah is talking about irrigated fields. But the Gemara right now does not assume that. The Gemara says that when the Mishnah says the word Beis Ashlachim, it's referring to the outer fields right outside the city. Okay, dichsiv, and why would we think that? Because there's a pasuk in Eiv. The pasuk says v'shaleach mayim apanei chutzos, that the word sholeach means that what we're going to do is we're going to have to transport water outside the city in order to irrigate those outer fields. Fine. So the Beis HaShlachim could be interpreted as the outer field. Now, if that's true, so then we have a problem. Because Bishlam Laman Damra Bar Machvanasa, because if you subscribe to the idea or the definition that Santer is a city clerk, so then the Mishnah works out beautifully. I mean, the Machlokis is understood beautifully. The Tanakam is saying, what's sold? The outer fields. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is adding, and you know what I think is also sold? The city clerk. So now we understand the machlokas of the Mishnah. Amar Tanakama Bagim is Davne bar Machvanas Alam is Davin, Vasar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lemimar Afila bar Machvanas Anamim is Davin. as I just got done explaining. However, if you feel that center is defined as the outer field, so then we have a machlokas in the Mishnah, but it's not a machlokas. Like, let's speak it out. The Tanakhama says, you know what's included in the sale of a city? The outer fields. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you know what I think is sold? The outer field. The machlokas doesn't work. So mitzvah is my shluchim bagay. So the Gemara says, okay, but your question is only good if you're right that the Beis HaShlachim described by the Tanakhama is the outer fields. But I don't think it is. Hello, it's not. My shlachim gi nu naisa. It is gardens in the city. Shenamar. First of all, how do I know that the word shlachim is a reference to gardens? Shira shirim. Shlachaych pardes rimonim. Okay, we're going to hear it on Pesach. You hear it every week.
Every time.
I know. Right, we hear it once a year. Okay, that's right. So, in other words, when the Tanakhama was talking about Beis HaShlachim, he was talking about gardens, but not the outer fields. And again, you'll have to say something along the lines of, I might have thought that the gardens are separate from the city. In other words, somehow it's a chiddush. You have to explain what the chiddush is, but somehow it's a chiddush that gardens may have not have been included in the sale, and the Tanakhama is teaching us, no, it's included in the sale. But certainly not the outer fields. And then along comes Rosh Hashem and Gamliel on the Mishnah and says, and I think the outer fields are also part of the sale.
Could be the outer garden.
Could be. Okay, wonderful. So right now, what do we have in the Mishnah? Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rosh Hashem and Gamliel. Tanakhama says that the santer is not part of the sale. Rosh Hashem and Gamliel says it is part of the sale. What does the word santer mean? We have two explanations in the Gemara. One says it's a city clerk. The other says it's the outer fields. And what the Gemara now did is basically try to work in both of these definitions into the Mishnah, and then both of these pshatim could work in the Mishnah. Ika de Amri, what we're going to do now, basically same discussion, formatted just a little bit differently. So we start off with the assumption that the Beis HaShlachim mentioned by the Tanakhama are the gardens. So Bishlam Lamandar Mabagi Amar Tanakhama Ginunaisa Mizdavin Bagalum Mizdavne. So now, if Santer of Rav Moshe ben Gamliel is the outer fields, the Mishnah works out wonderfully. Meaning, Tanakhama says, you know what's sold in the sale of a field, a sale of a city? The gardens. You know what's not included? The outer fields. And Rav Moshe ben Gamliel says, no, the outer fields is part of the sale. So good. You understand now the give and take in the Mishnah. But top of some chesam and beis elamanda amar bar machvanasa. But if the definition of a santer is a city clerk, so then what's the exchange in the Mishnah? Let's hear how that would sound. Amar Tanakhama gina naisa mahadale Rishim Gamliel bar machvanasa. The Tanakhama says, you know, I think the gardens are included in the sale, and Rishim Gamliel says, gardens, I think the city clerk is included in the sale. Meaning they're like so far apart from each other in terms of what they're deliberating. If there's a subtle distinction between a garden and the outer fields, and good, that's at least we understand they're back and forth. But one is saying the gardens, the other one's saying the city clerk. They're like,
not only the gardens, but even a city clerk.
You could say that, and right, the Gemara is only balking at that because it's just too far apart from each other. It's like it's not a debate. It's like, you know, for lack of a better term, it's apples and oranges.
I was going to say, city clerk,
yeah, yeah, that's.
So, and who pays for it?
It's part of the city. He works for the city. And I would imagine that the city taxes that are collected are used to pay.
He's a slave. He has to be a slave, otherwise.
Right. Right. Agreed. 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 Okay.
Belong to everyone. Have such a situation.
I mean, he's a public servant.
But has to sleep somewhere.
I understand your point. I hear you.
Why isn't he sold among the other slaves? Well, you already included in the sale that he said.
Right. Okay.
Why isn't he in
the right? Okay. Fine. It's fair. These are fair.
The other thing that is a city being sold about.
The Mishnah talks about. In other words, it's a private city.
It's not.
Let's assume it's a private city. The Gemara, if I can riff for just a moment. So the fourth parak of Megillah talks about the Shivatuvei Ha'ir, meaning that there's a city council, and the city council makes executive decisions for the city. So there is such a construct. But over here, I assume in the context of our Mishnayos, that's a private sale. So then, if I'm right, so then I assume that the Mishnah is describing a city owned privately. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So mitzvah is my shlachin ginan asalom, my shlachin mage. So the Gemara says, look, and in the second version of the discussion, we're going to just change that original assumption. You thought the Beis HaShlachim is referring to gardens. They're not referring to gardens. They're referring to the outer fields. And Dichsiv v'shalech ma'am apenei chutzos, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Eiv again. Ava bar machvenas olam is davin. So here now, so at least the debate is a little bit closer to one another. The Tanakam is saying, the Tanakam is saying that you know what's including the sale of a city? Not only the entire city, but even the outer fields. And then to that, Rishon ben Gamliel says, I'll go even one step further. And the Gemara assumes that this is just one step further. That even the clerk is including the sale as well. Okay, Tashma. Okay, so again, what we're trying to do right now is wrap our head around when Rosh Hashim and Gamliel is adding the santar, what is he adding in the sale of a city? So again, the two pshatim that we have so far in the Gemara is either it's a city clerk or it's the outer fields. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Santar in a Machor, Ankomas Machor. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Santar is not sold, but the Ankomas, the city scribe, he's including the sale. So, my lab in the Ankomas Gavra, Santar Nami Gavra. Now, if he's contrasting, the Ankomas for sure is the city scribe. That's unequivocal. The Gemara says that's not even open for discussion. So, if the city scribe is what he's saying is included in the sale of a city, so the contrast would be another councilman of the city, or another servant of the city, or put it simply, another person. So if the Ankomas is included in the sale, so the Santar, which is not included, must be a person. And so it sounds like, in the context of this discussion, so that the Santar is a person, not the outer field. Midiriya Hakadisa Vakadisa. The Gemara just simply dismisses this, and the Gemara says simply, look, not necessarily. The Ankomas is a person. I'm not arguing with you on that. But the Santar is a field. And even though he's puts them side by side, but the Gemara says that doesn't mean that the Santar has to be a person. For the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Let's read on in the Braisa. The Braisa goes on to read. Not included in the city, in the sale of the city, is not the remnants of the city, not the suburbs of the city, not the forests of the city. Reservoirs of animals, of birds, of fish. And those are external to the city. And even though, right, it's a suburb, even though it's a forest, even though it's a reservoir of animals, since they're outside the city, they're not part of the sale. Now, of the things that are not included in the sale of the city is the shayareha. Now, what is that? That's a reference to bizli. Okay. A popular snack in Israel. That's not what the Gemara here is referencing. My bizli, I'm Rabbi Abba Piske Bage. So Rabbi Abba says that it is not the outer fields, but even like peripheral fields to the outer fields. Paske Baga. So Paske Baga Udala Mizdavne Habage Asma Mizdavne. So now, if the perimeters of the outer field are not part of the sale, but you know what are part of the sale? The actual outer fields themselves are part of the sale. So, what did we just see in this end of the Braisa? Again, assuming that the word Shayara is a reference to the perimeter of the outer field is not part of the sale, that means that the outer field is considered part of the sale. So, we just learned together that the outer fields is considered part and parcel of the sale. So that now puts the Reb Yehuda position that the outer field is considered part of the sale against Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, "Epoch Reb Yehuda Amar Santa Machar and Komos and Machar." So the Gemara says, "Okay." So here's what we'll do: we'll just flip around the brisa so that Reb Yehuda says that the center is included in the sale, and the center is the bagi, is the outer field, and that's consistent with Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, "Me Masas Amar Reb Yehuda Kerav Shimon Gamliel Sirelei." So the Gemara says, okay, so now you're aligning Rav Yehuda like Rav Shimon Gamliel, v'ha Rav Yehuda k'rabbanan sfirlei. But I also know that Rav Yehuda does not agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel based on another brisa. And when the other brisa says, diktani seifa, it says at the end of the brisa, v'lo shayreha, v'lo banaseha. The brisa says that the suburbs and the outer portions of the seder are including the sale. The ilah Rashbag Omer Machas Yer Machar Banaseh Haditanya Hamochas Yer Lo Machas Banaseh Rashbag Omer Hamochas Yer Machar Banaseh. So the Brisa here says the Rashbag says that the suburbs is included in the sale of a city. So now we try to put Rabbi Yehuda together with the Rashbag in terms of the bag, in terms of the outer fields, and the Gemara has Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with the Rashbag that the Bagi is considered part of the sale. But meanwhile, the suburbs, again, I don't know what that means in the context of the Gemara, but the Banoseha are not considered part of the sale, at least not according to Rabbi Yehuda, but Rashbag is of the opinion they are considered part of the sale. So Rabbi Yehuda says, like Kavasa Bechado Palagala Bechada. So the Gemara says, look, that's fine. It's not a difficulty. We'll just simply have Rabbi Yehuda agreeing with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on the part regarding the outer fields, but in regards to the suburbs, he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And let's just now finish up to the next Mishnah. The reservoirs outside of the city that hold animals, birds, and fish are not considered part of the sale of the city. The Gemara notes that I have a brisa, and the brisa tells me hayula banos enim karsama hayulo chelak echad biyam vechelak echad biyabasha. If I have, let's say, a sale of a city, and right outside the city there's an island, and that island is part and parcel of the city, it's considered part of the city. So, bivrin shalchai v'shalofus v'shaldagim hare elu nimkarim ima. And right outside the city, there are reservations of animals and birds and fish that is included in the sale of the city. So, basically, it's just a simple discrepancy between the brisa and the brisa. One brisa says that the reservations outside are not part of the sale. Another brisa says it is part of the sale. So, the commercial is okasha. Ha denegich kail lagav. Ha denegich kail lavar. Again, basically, where's the opening of the reservation? If the opening of the reservation is opening up into the city, so then it's part of the sale. If the opening of the reservation is going outside the city, so then it's not part of the sale. So the Gemara says, what about the forest? In other words, can we make the same discrepancy or the same distinction regarding a forest? Opening into the city, part of the city, not opening to the city, not part of the city. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's what we're going to have to say, pshat in the braisa. Pshat in the braisa is that when the forest is away from the city, so therefore it's not part of the sale of the city. If the forest is open to the city, so then it's part of the sale of the city. So the Gemara says, we'll say the same thing regarding the forest as well. So, just quick wrap up. Today we finished the sugya. We started the sugya of the base about the sale of the olive press. Tried to give a description of what is included and what not included in the sale. The overarching theme, the Rashbam continuously tells us time and again, things that are connected to the ground are part of the sale. Things disconnected to the ground are not part of the sale. We talked about the sale of a bathhouse. We made an important distinction this morning regarding the words of Kol Ma'aseh B'Socha and Kol Tashmisheha. And that's different than the Tashmisheha is going to be a more inclusive term in terms of what's included in the sale of an item. And then we finally talked today about the sale of a city. Again, the Rashbam's basic viewpoint is that the larger the sale, the more things that are included, including the sale of the city, are going to be the Avadim. Is Avadim considered Karka or Metaltlin? As the Rashbam pointed out today, Minotaur, of course we know what an Eved is, but in terms of parlance between people, how when we talk to one another and I say property, am I trying to communicate to you the Avadim as well? The Gemara debated elsewhere. The Gemara debates it here in today's daf as well. It's left undecided. Rav Shimon Gamliel includes the center as being part of the sale. Two Pshatim in the Gemara. The Gemara did not resolve which of these two Pshatim are the accepted one.